Every time I sing, I'm afraid he will never come back. All right, murmurs Dao, who's sitting beside me. Fine. I sound sharp, but I can't help it. I so wish Brock was here with us, enjoying this day, sharing our success. Look, there they are. We jump to our feet, shouting encouragement as our fellow trainees walk out onto the combat ground, staves in hand. They have the next display bout. Then it's Dao and me. We're well warmed up, ready to go, but we're not going to miss watching Hrothgar and Yarn show their talents. A great noise goes up, the voices of every resident of Swan Island cheering the combatants. There's nobody off on a mission at present, so there's a crowd of nearly 60 watching. Fighters, trainers, the folk who support the work of the island, and the elders. Canella, our leader, Ahu, our chief combat trainer, Breed and Ava and Haki, and the others. They're the best of the best. Those lucky enough and talented enough to be trained here are highly sought after when kings and chieftains need a task completed that's beyond the ability of their own men-at-arms. Or their own spies, if they have them. Sometimes our missions fall somewhat outside the rules of law. We do covert work. Secret work. That's why we live and train in such an isolated place. It's why few outsiders come here. And it's why the training period is so long. They've not only been testing our physical skills, they've been making sure we're trustworthy. Making sure we won't crack under torture, and making sure we can think for ourselves. It's unusual for them to take 4 new fighters at once. We know how lucky we are. And we know we've earned it. Hrothgar and Yarn enter the combat space. The field edge is marked by a circle of rope laid on the ground. The combatants halt, facing the elders, and with staves held upright, they bow. Canella gives a grave nod of acknowledgement. The crowd is quiet now. 3 coppers on Hrothgar, whispers Dao in my ear. Done. Hrothgar, a Norseman, is taller and broader than Yarn. But the Armorican has a talent for deception. That makes him dangerous. Yarn's beaten me once or twice, using that skill, and I know it's a mistake to underestimate him. The two turn to face each other and bow again. They assume a fighting pose, staff gripped in both hands, one near the end, one partway up the shaft. They move about, backward and forward, jabbing in turn, each looking for an opening. Both men wear protective leather helms. Those things get hot as an oven and you end up with sweat obscuring your vision, but for this sort of fight you need them. And padded jerkins over their trousers and tunics. Wait for it, murmurs Dao. Ah! As Yarn loses patience and rushes forward. His intention is clear. To knock aside Hrothgar's staff, then jab his own toward the other man's midriff. But he's not quick enough. The end of Hrothgar's weapon strikes Yarn's arm hard. I know what that does. Your fingers go numb for long, precious moments. Yarn skips back out of reach, winces, shaking his hand, flexing his fingers. Play actor, mutters Dao. I can't argue. When Yarn grips his staff again, he's moved his hands. Now they're a handspan further along. This will place the staff slightly further away from Hrothgar than before. Yarn's used his own error to his advantage. And now, under cover of a momentary hesitation, he puts 1 foot forward but leans his upper body back. Clever, I murmur. Hrothgar thrusts high to low, aiming for his opponent's chest. If Yarn hadn't tricked him, this would be a bout-ending move. But Yarn is closer than Hrothgar expected. The Armorican shifts his weight to the front foot and slides his staff through his front hand straight into Hrothgar's chest, between the lower ribs. Hrothgar folds. He can't breathe. His hand goes up in the gesture, I yield. The crowd roars.